Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2025. That's right, we're back. Not into like 7 shows in 3 days like it used to be, but 4 shows in a week. Not bad.
I gotta tell you, man, it's freaking me out.
I'm Tommy. That's Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I feel almost professional.
Almost.
I gotta tell you, we've done what is this show for? Mm-hmm. I shot video for a TV project Saturday. I feel like almost a working human.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm actually doing some things. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's nice to feel productive.
Yes.
That's maybe the most important thing for me, like on a personal level, is to feel productive as a right. Getting some shows in, getting some other stuff in. That's good stuff. So all that said, this episode, we are talking about the PC Gaming Show, which happened last week, as well as Wholesome Direct. And we're going to slide in, because it happened in the PC Gaming Show as well, the biggest news that came out of the, at least in our opinion, the Sony State of Play from a couple of weeks ago, which we still haven't really talked about. So we'll cover that in this show. And I think we'll probably call it good on Sony until they do their next thing.
Which is like next month. Sorry, yeah. I'm adjusting here.
No worries. So while Jamie gets adjusted, that's a good time to quickly mention the Patreon guys. As always, we thank you guys so much. Thanks to Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. As always, your support helps us to do this show. It helps us to pay for video games that we can play. And we'll talk about some video games here in a little bit that we can then obviously talk to you about. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do that again right now by going to patreon.com and searching for Gaming Uncensored over there. I, just as a side note, have never gone to Patreon and searched the term Gaming Uncensored. I am just realizing how dangerous that might be. So plan accordingly, but you will find us over there, so you can support us there. Do go by gamingUncensored.com still to get the link to the Discord. Discord is awesome. We want you over there chatting with us, so you can find that link at gamingUncensored.com. Website is still hideous, but Discord link works.
Because there has been lots going on the Discord. There was discussion today, which I haven't gotten around to because I was out of town, and I literally got home, ran in, got some water, and came in here. So I don't even know what was said today, but it was quite the discussion, because you said at some point that you were extraordinarily disappointed about something.
The thing I'm disappointed about, it was good to bring it up because it was an interesting conversation over there, and I need to revisit because I know there was a little bit more to it. The Super Mario Kart World doesn't have co-op in the free roam mode, which
what
I get, and I think it was Wolf Deity that made the point that, like, that's a lot to ask that system to do, to potentially have two players be on opposite sides of the map from each other and having to deal with the whole world map in that way. Fair enough, but man, like, that seems like a would be a really cool thing to just sit down and be able to explore the world with my daughter, and you still get to play all the other modes and all that kind of stuff. But I just hadn't even considered that not being a thing. Like, I just had taken for granted that that would be a thing in there. And then, like, that's a bummer that it's not. Again, I get it, but man, a bummer.
So here's my argument with that. When we were 20 and hardware was what it was, I would have bought that. But now, you and I both have hardware that could send us both to space.
Right.
And have power left over. And it wasn't that expensive, right?
Sure.
Like, yeah, Duff hooked us up. We got wicked, wicked computers, and we won't be able, neither one of us will have to buy another rig for the next 20 years because they're massive. But I don't want to hear, oh, gee, we're sorry. The hardware we put in can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, to me, especially for Mario Kart, like, okay, you're going to, I think that,
I know, my, sorry.
You're going,
I had to grab a power cord and my face tracking turned on my camera, so it followed me over when I went to grab my power cord.
You're going to offer free roam in Mario Kart, and you're also going to offer couch co-op with a caveat. Like, to me, it's like, okay, you're either going to offer it or you're not. And if you don't have the juice to do it, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Sure. It's a bummer, but it's Nintendo. And we'll get
that. That's very valuable. I mean, you just said it right there. It's Nintendo.
I mean, you know, like, I mean, that's what it is. We'll go, ah, that sucks. Very Nintendo of you, Nintendo. Please, can I have another? You know, like that. The way things work with it.
Yeah.
So, all that said, that was a conversation that happened over at Discord. So come join us over at Discord and have fun, interesting gaming or not related conversations. I will mention, since I have a drink here. This one I'm pretty proud of. So I'm showing off Jamie my little drink here. This one, the Sexy Sidekick, found the idea, the inspiration behind. This is a Dr. Pepper Old Fashioned, which is pretty amazing. Three cans.
Are you trying to make me have a stroke right here?
I know, right?
You know that's like my favorite thing in the whole world.
I know. It's like the most Texas cocktail I could possibly imagine, too. It's wonderful. Three cans of Dr. Pepper, throw it into a pot, boil it until it reduces down to about the size of one can of Dr. Pepper. Get yourself some Dr. Pepper simple syrup and then make old fashions with it. I put some orange and cherry bitters in this one, the Dr. Pepper simple syrup, and some rye whiskey. And I'm telling you, man, that's pretty good.
Okay, let me just say this. You may have totally lost us for the rest of the show. Because I'm not sure I care about anything but this. I want you to consider tweaking the recipe slightly.
Sure.
Because I don't know if we've really discussed it on the show, but you and I are getting older, and as a result, we're trying harder in our old age not to die.
Yes.
By getting slightly healthier. And I do not drink a Dr. Pepper with high fructose corn syrup in it anymore.
Yeah.
I would like to see what happens if you did that with a cane sugar Dr. Yeah. Pepper.
I'm sure it would be great. Like that why I was thinking you were going to go for like a Dr. Pepper Zero or something like that.
No,
I don't know how that would go.
I'm not that insane.
Yeah. Cane sugar should be even better. Like,
yes,
it should reduce down into even a better simple syrup.
Yes.
This did. So I like that idea. I'd go for that for sure.
Yeah. Let's see if we can tweak that.
That's our plan. Next time we're together.
I'm super interested.
I like it. So there's your drink recommendation. I just had a different drink every night. So I got a nice new bottle of bourbon for Father's Day as well.
Okay.
So that'll show up, I'm sure, on the next show.
I went to the grocery store yesterday. And I don't know about you, but as an adult, the grocery store is like what the toy store used to be. Like, you're walking through the grocery store and they got all this fancy cheese and they got all this cool adult stuff. And
yeah.
Like, I'm going through the grocery store and I see this six pack of Shinerbach lemonade.
Interesting.
And I'm thinking to myself, I can't really imagine Shiner making a lemonade, but I really should buy a six pack of this and just try it. And I didn't. And this evening, I'm really regretting it. Because I'm very, like, that's a weird combination.
That is a weird combination.
Shiner and lemonade, but I really want to try it.
But could be amazing.
Yes.
See that working. Yeah. Get it next time and let me know, because I'm curious.
I might go back to the store tomorrow because I'm really upset that I'm sitting over here with no drink
in
my hand.
I'm so sorry. I'll try.
He's not that sorry.
With it during the show.
Yeah.
He's real. You know, I'll be subtle. I was trying to be mean and choke myself. So, you know.
That's karma, baby.
Get some water from that. All that said, we should probably talk about some video games, shouldn't we?
We should, yes.
We'll talk about the shows a little bit too, because those are always interesting. We are at our hearts media people. We've talked about it before, but we started this show as media students, mass communication students in college, and so that is our background. And so we do like the kind of like watching how these presentations are done and critiquing that, as not as much as the games, but in a way that's similar to the games. And so PC Gaming Show thoughts, Jamie Jordan.
It was it was not great. It was not great.
Yeah. Not great, I think, is being generous. We talked about it on the last show.
Yeah, let me just go back to what I said on the last show, because I wonder if you put that guy in a room with some really other smart people and just let him talk, what you would get. Because especially this year, like, I like the guy. He's a really smart guy. He's made his living off of competitive gaming. He's not an idiot. This year, he looked like a schmuck. he just did. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I won't.
I mean, he looked like a schmuck. And maybe PC Magazine is paying him enough money that it doesn't matter. And, you know, he can give me the middle finger and walk off into sunset. And if that's the case, then fine. But, like, I can't imagine that guy looking at that finished product and going, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was rough.
It's a lot of cringe. And we talked about the cringe and how there's seemingly now a lot less cringe in a lot of these things because they can be edited and they can be thought out and that kind of stuff. And to be fair, the PC Gaming Show has always been pretty cringy. It has a lot of like stupid humor and kitsch and that kind of stuff to it. So no different. And so I don't know if it's just that this year was particularly bad or if that's just worn so thin that I don't have any patience for it anymore. That like the PC Gaming Show has been one of our favorite shows. Like,
yeah,
the past several years, it's been something we've really looked forward to. And this year, it just didn't hit, you know? And that's the games, like, honestly. I mean, more than anything, really. Like, as cringe as everything else is, if you're showing us a bunch of games like we're super into, we're going to go, oh, that was a good show. It was cringy at times, but it was a good show. But when you don't have a ton of games that we're interested in and you have this kind of cringy presentation, The other, there was kind of two halves to it, right? So there was Day Nine doing his thing with another woman. I can't think of a woman. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But they had like a silly back and forth and did lots of stupid jokes and that kind of stuff. And then there was Frankie, who has also been a part of PC Gaming Show for the past several years, and another guy building a PC and kind of doing some cringe stuff in there as well. But, you know, at least interesting to like hear them talk about building a PC. Like if it would have just been like the Frankie other dude like dynamic, I think I would have gotten behind it a little bit more, even while pretty cringy. But the fact that it had like these two different identities that it was trying to do, and it didn't really find like a way to have a interesting narrative, which, to be clear, these things don't have to have an interesting narrative. Like, we don't have to have some like through line of like storytelling that happens on top of just the natural progression of talking about the games. But they always try to do that, but they did it with these kind of two disconnected things. And it was just, not my thing. Not great.
The other thing that sort of bothered me is that they build a computer every year and then they give it away.
Yeah.
Right. And most years, like last year, I signed up for that thing because it was a nice computer. It was a really nice computer. And this year, they did this whole thing about it being the rig and went all the, you know, the entire show. And it was an AMD build, and it was a low-budget AMD build. And I will preface everything from this point on by saying you and I have been greatly spoiled by this show.
Yes.
Because we have two machines that we couldn't have dreamed of 20 years ago. We're spoiled. I understand that, but like I'm looking at the finished product of that build, and I'm like, come on, PC Magazine, that all you got? I get it, and it's a giveaway thing, and like. There's people out there that would love that. I get it. But they made a huge deal out of this system that's just sort of, you know.
Yeah, I do. I like the fact that they did AMD build. It's something we've talked about.
I know you want to do one, and I want to do one, too.
But so fun and different,
yeah,
and also terrifying, and like you know, all those things that we've talked about a ton before. When we are building something that we want to make sure that we're going to have for a while, we're not doing AMD. I've done AMD builds in the past, like, I'm not knocking AMD in that, but there is something about the reliability that we get from an Intel build that we both like and are happy, very, very, very happy with our current Intel builds. And so all that to say, I appreciated that they didn't do kind of what we would expect them to do as, you know, like the PC gamer, you know, show thing, and like showing a little bit different side, because this is gear that I'm not as familiar with on a like, you know, like video card name basis or that kind of stuff, because I don't follow it as closely as I follow the Nvidia stuff and the Intel stuff and all that. And so seeing a different approach to building this rig was interesting. I don't need it because my rig is better, you know, but like, and that's the thing, is my rig's a year or two old at this point and still like outperforms this and costs more than this too, you know, like again, budget being a relative thing, but you know, if you would were to try to get similar performance out of an Intel Nvidia build, it would be a lot more expensive because AMD doesn't cost as much, and there's a reason for that, and you kind of take that risk when you're building those that they talked about to try and, you know, in the most like marketing friendly ways of like, and we're gonna keep it cool by doing this, and this is like, okay, I'm sure you will, but like that thing will probably fry an egg pretty easy too.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not opposed to an AMD, because I thought about this while you were talking about it. Everything that's in our game room right now, everything that's plugged in right now, is plugged in the way it is because I just need to be able to hit a button and have it work. Like, if I wasn't a guy in a wheelchair whose, you know, hands weren't completely and totally unpredictable, I would probably be all over an AMD build. But, like, I need to put together anything that I do, whether it's a build or another piece of hardware. We were talking about a camera before the show, about upgrading my camera in here. I need whatever I do needs to be as touch-proof as possible. Set it, forget it, and if you need to tweak it, there's an app for that. And so I think that's where some of my stuff is coming from, just because I have that fear of it runs great for a week and then the whole thing goes south and
for sure
you're not around and nobody else is either. And it's like,
of course. Just know what you're getting yourself into. Anyway, all that said, like, if you need a gaming PC, it's a perfectly fine gaming PC. It's going to do a lot of really good stuff, but not the way that we would necessarily build a PC either.
Yeah.
You know, opinions differ on that. So all that said, we should talk about some of the games we saw. Like we said, PC gaming show specifically, not a ton. There's just a ton of games because there's always a ton of games, and not a ton of the ton of games are things that we are super into. But we always say this, there are things that we're not into that you guys are. And so whatever we overlook here, please let us know your thoughts.
Oh, this reminds me. I meant to talk to you about this like 2 days ago. Did you pick up Two Point Hospital off of Epic?
Because I didn't, no.
That was, I think it's still available. You should go get it.
Yeah.
Because that was one from a couple of years ago that they had for free.
Yes.
And now, I think it's available till like Thursday. So you should go get it.
For sure.
But that's really cool, and I was really excited to see more of that type of stuff this year from the PC Gaming Show, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Again, some stuff here is pretty interesting, and we'll kind of talk through a few of these. So I'll start with Mandrake, which is... I think the best way I could describe it is like Stardew Valley, but like cursed.
you got like ghosts and
Like there apparently is some like curse that has been applied to the world that like horticulture is forbidden, except for the dude you play who can like grow stuff, but like the stuff he grows is like weird and cursed, and there's like other things that like if you overfish a river you get a new curse put on you or something, whatever. Like it's got that like life sim Stardew Valley thing, like city and building relationships and all that kind of stuff, but like this like dark undercurrent to it that I'm like, that actually might be kind of cool.
Well, and the other thing they brought up, and I think that I'm thinking about the right game, but they made it very clear that there was like a day and a night thing, and you didn't have to do the scary nighttime stuff until you were ready.
Yeah.
Like they said that several times in the thing, and I thought, well, that's sort of interesting. I mean, there was a couple of these, ooh, we're cursed, we're being evil.
Yeah.
Games in the show. One that we saw last year about building a cult. And I'm not super into that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we kind of had that discussion. Maybe it was last year about this. I remember that now, of just like the occult kind of vibe being weird.
Right. Yeah.
If you do it well, it can be, but it's not really my thing. This game didn't give me too much of that vibe, but
Once
you get to it further, it might. I don't know, but like the cult simulator, whatever that one is, not my thing.
No,
I did not care for it. Again, much of what we saw was not on our list. So another one that is Garbage Country.
Yep.
This one's interesting to me that, like, you have a Jeep and, like, you get to build up the Jeep and then, like, go explore this wasteland and collect garbage. And, like, it's kind of tower defense. It's kind of, like, open up the map, like, explore, like, thing, like that that Far Cry thing. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's enough things that are, like, interesting mechanics to me that I'm like, I think I would like this.
Okay, it's been like 4 or 5 or 18 shows, maybe more, since we got to bring up the beast. But like you had a vehicle in your early years. That, yes. Like, I know why this game is jamming for you, because you had yourself a vehicle there, and the windows did not roll down. It was like one door that wouldn't lock, but man, it was like a 1986 Bronco.
94 Ford Explorer.
Okay, Ford Explorer, okay.
94 Ford Explorer, yeah. The front doors didn't open from the inside. The back doors didn't open from the outside. Like, it was a disaster of a car, but I had that car for a long time. Yes, this very much is like that. Like, just this, like, ridiculous junk car. But, like, it has, like, almost, like, there was something about it that felt, like, almost Katamari Damacy to me.
Yeah.
Like, these weird mechanics that are just, like, all kind of tossed together that may be just terrible. There's a good chance this game is just not interesting at all. It is one that, like, I'm not going to go pay for, but when it pops up on, like, a Humble Bundle choice, like, okay, that, like, I'm going to definitely download it and play it for 20 minutes and see what happens. And maybe it's fun and hooks me, and maybe it's not, and I don't ever play it again. But, like, it has my attention enough that I wish listed it on Steam. So when it comes on sale, maybe I pay $2 for it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that kind of game. Another one that's probably in that same category is Dark Switch, which is the best way I think I can describe at least the vibe I got from it is like Frostpunk, but in a tree. Like, it's this, like, you're building up the civilization that's been destroyed for some reason, but, like, the city is in a tree, like this big
and
tree.
It moves.
There's this fog that rolls in, and so it's very much like the winter and Frostpunk that comes in and, like, messes up everything that you've got going for you and that kind of stuff. It's a very Frostpunkish vibe to me. Maybe not quite as dark, but still pretty dark. But I love Frostpunk. And that's going to be a theme through this. There's a lot of city builders on this list, because a lot of city builders that showed up here. And so this is one of them, but has an interesting, I don't know, how much I'm excited about it. Enough, again, to wish list it on Steam and maybe pick it up if it comes up cheap, or pick it up when it comes up on Humble Choice. But interesting enough that I kind of want to watch it and see what it does.
Yeah, I think that one was around last year also.
It might have been. Many I can't ever
remember. It looks weird, but it's a good kind of weird. It's like it kind of makes you stop and go, what is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one, I don't have a great gauge on at this point, but looks interesting, is Eversiege, which has a kind of Diablo-ish vibe to it. A little bit. Has that kind of, like, exploration, action adventure, but not like hordes of mobs, at least not in what they've showed. There's some, like, big groups, but not.
They actually mentioned that they had love for Diablo, if I'm thinking about the right game. Like,
I think that's right.
They were like, yo, this is where we came from. And this is one that I think I will probably play, because it reminds me of old school Diablo 2.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. Like, I'm playing Diablo 4 right now. I've got a druid in the current season, which is available for about 15 more days. And I told the guy that I'm playing with, like, I don't know if I'm going to do a character next season, because, like, you play for the season and then you start over, and, like, rebuild the character. I don't know how many times I'm going to be willing to do that. I kind of want the old school, like, okay, it's we're going to smash some stuff and you don't have to worry about your character from the previous season getting totally nerfed and not really being able to use him in Eternal mode, which is where I'm at right now. Like, I have two really great builds that Wizard will probably nerf when the season is over and, you know, whatever. And so I'm kind of into this because it's what we grew up with.
Yeah, that's kind of where I land on it. Speaking of kind of like what we grew up with, and this is a game we've seen before too, and so this isn't new. We talked about it, I think, a couple years ago at this point. It's already on my Steam wish list. So, but we've seen a lot more of it. We have a release date, which is later this year. It's Paralives, which could have also been in the Wholesome Direct because it's life sim. It's very much The Sims, but like a kind of different take on The Sims. This kind of cartoony style, like cartoony meets photorealistic, like somewhere in between, but not 3D character models the same way The Sims are. If it can deliver on kind of what it seems like it's trying to deliver on, having like a Sims type vibe to it, maybe heavier at times. A lot of the focus seems to be on, like, you know, decorating your house and that kind of stuff, which is not the stuff that I'm super into and not what appeals to me about The Sims, even though that stuff can be a little bit fun. But some of the narrative stuff, some of the kind of story and world stuff may be interesting. I'm a sucker for a life sim game. Like, there's something that's really relaxing to me about, like, playing The Sims, of like that disconnect of just like, hey, let me make a random character and like see what they do in life in a not like high stakes way. That's fun. You know, like Stardew Valley scratches that same itch. And so I hope this is good. It's very pretty. I like the art style a lot. I don't know the gameplay, if it's going to be deep enough to keep you, especially with like having The Sims already existing.
Right, like that's hard.
How do you differentiate yourself?
Because our Minecraft character that I built on The Sims 4 was an artist. And after I saw this, I was like, I need to download that and move that back up and see, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta see where that is at. So that's the tough part about this, is the Sims sort of already exists, kind of the same way with all of the Stardew Valley clones. I'm like, okay, you're basically the game that we know with a little twist. And
right.
And it's kind of like, well, okay, that's cool. I hope you survive, you know, because we're so... We've been playing our favorite versions of those games for 20 years.
Yes.
So to stick out, you really have to do something. And I'm not sure this one's going to do it.
Aside from the art style, which is different than what The Sims looks like, I'm not sure what it does different than The Sims. And again, The Sims is so established as like just a really solid experience, regardless of like the ridiculous like add-on DLC like world that become The Sims. And I haven't spent time with The Sims in many, many years. Like, I haven't touched it in several years. But it'll get me back at some point, you know, because it's just one that you return to from time to time. I'm interested to see if Paralives can like scratch that itch for me and get me into one of these that's not The Sims, or if it's just going to make me go, oh, I really want to play The Sims, and this is what gets me back to The Sims, is playing this game for 20 minutes and going, oh yeah, this isn't The Sims, I want to play The Sims, let's go play The Sims. So we'll see how it goes. The next game is something completely different, and I don't even know how to begin to describe this one. I mean, just quite literally what it is. So this is, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Millet Sonier,
I have no idea.
Sonier, if you want to look it up. It is the strangest looking game that I think I've seen so far, which is why it stuck out to me. You are apparently like a dude that like, it just lives in this world, and like is just going around your normal business, except for the fact that there is a giant like guard police officer that's just like watching over this town that you live in, I guess. It is like bugging you about like you, I don't know if like you're supposed to commit the crimes or if like it's pushing you.
It reminds me of kind of a black and white thing.
Yeah. With
like the hand going like that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, like you're just in this city, but you could see like just looming over the city, like just sitting there is this giant police officer who's just kind of watching what you do and like reprimanding you every once in a while. And then when like you piss him off, he's like trying to grab you out of the world and like his giant hand is coming down to like pluck you out. And you have to like run away and hide in buildings and stuff. It is bizarre. It's so weird. But also, like, really interesting to me. Like, I really want to...
You know what? You know what? Cool. And I can't... I think at some point we're just going to have to admit that we're adults. But the reason this game is so cool is because you want to have two or three bourbons or find...
Or something else.
some drugs that you know, might be available... And then go play this. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those. If you do that, it's gonna trip your mind a little bit.
Yes, it does seem very, very trippy. And like, if you are in a place for whatever, however you got to that place. Where you might be a little prone to some paranoia, this is a game that's going to feed into your paranoia.
Yeah,
idea of a giant police officer just watching every move you make. So
I can just see myself in my backyard going, oh, "Is he up there? Is he up there? I can't see him.
Yep.
Is he up there?
Yes." It's such a weird looking title, but I'm really kind of fascinated by it. So the next one is one you put on my radar, Gun Touchables, which may be the best name of a game.
Yes.
The whole thing. I just love the name Gun Touchables so much. It is a co-op roguelite that is very cartoony graphics. I'm trying to think of like what is the like what kind of graphics
co-op.
Is. Yeah. It has a kind of Vampire Survivors but super goofy vibe to it, co-op vibe to it. It is
think King of the Hill meets lots of guns.
Yes,
like, that's what it is.
Yeah, it does have that kind of thing to it. By the way, I'm sorry, this is to take us off of topic for a little bit, but you mentioned King of the Hill. King of the Hill is a phenomenal show.
Yeah,
I don't know that we've ever talked about how good of a show King of the Hill is because they're coming out with a new season on Hulu that I'm just...
They are? Are you serious?
Yeah, so like it's like 20 years later, Bobby has grown up, like they've gotten older, but like still like hanging out in the alley. Like they... posted up so far down a rabbit hole now, but they posted the opening sequence for it, and like apparently Hank and Peggy sell the house and somebody else moves in and it goes through this whole thing, and then they have to sell and Hank and Peggy move back in or what. But it's the whole opening sequence of just everybody out in the alley drinking beer, but like with this new family coming in and then going out. All this, you gotta look it up,
dude. I don't have time to watch King of the Hill again, but now I have to.
King of the Hill is one of those shows. I have a handful of shows that are just on like the, if I just need an episode of something really quick, like is what I go to. The Office is one of those shows. Yeah. But King of the Hill is like, I'm working through it right now. I've been working through it for months of just like every once in a while, just like I need a 20 minute thing. And so I'm on like a bunch, 11 or 12, maybe. I don't remember.
Are they all on Hulu? Because I like
they're all on something. What do I watch it on? I think it's Hulu. I don't remember what it is. I watch it on, I think it's Hulu. But they're somewhere.
Now you got me interested. Like,
I love King of the Hill. That's where the new one is coming out on Hulu. I do know that.
So, all right. So that's basically what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got guns trying to solve us.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
And over the top, and yes, possibly quite fun. And so, interested in Untouchables. Again, I don't know if it's one we spend much time in, but it does look kind of interesting. The next one's another one that you mentioned that has a demo out, and I haven't played the demo for this. Sorry, I'm going to distract this one more time really quick before I mention this game, because I did play a demo and it was so hard and I didn't play much of it because I just wanted to play Expedition 33. And so I got back into Expedition 33 very quickly. But I did play a little bit of the Cairn demo. And so I can just briefly mention one of the games that we talked about in the previous show I've had a little bit of time with. It's interesting. The mechanics are weird, as you would kind of expect them to be. I like it. I don't like it more than Expedition 33. And so, like, it got about 20 minutes of my time before I went back to Expedition 33. Okay.
Can we talk about what I was doing last night at midnight? Because I'm trying to catch up where you are, because after you talked about gradient attacks, I was like, oh, he's a couple hours ahead of me, and I got to figure this out. And so I reconfigured my keyboard to get where I think I can do the jump attacks and get ready for the gradient attacks and all of that. And I have gotten into Act 2, and I'm just sort of swimming around doing stuff. And I found Sprung in the middle of the ocean, and he's the guy with the cheater pictos that we need for all these builds that you're not supposed to try and take on until like Act 3.
Right.
But me being me, because I'm crippled, I don't feel bad about it. I got a mod that makes the parry actually something that I can do
nice
on a fairly consistent basis, and it makes the game a whole lot more fun. So don't hate me because I tweaked a major mechanic in the game to make it work, but it makes the game so much more fun if you can hit that on a regular basis. And I'm not saying that it happens all the time, because I told you last night that I died twice, even with that. But my point is that I started messing around with Sprung about 10:30. At midnight, I looked at the clock and went, crap, I have meetings in the morning. I gotta go to bed. And he was down to half health. Like, I had him down to, like, half a health bar.
Nice.
And so, like, I've already told Peyton, I'm like, we're doing a show, and then I'm going back to Expedition 33. I'll probably have, like, 2 hours that I can beat on this guy. Maybe I can beat him.
Yeah.
I should be trying to keep up with you, but I'm totally distracted by side bosses. Because before I took him out, There was a dude in a cave that was very interesting, because there's nothing there. Where
the walls are closing in on you?
Well, that the yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
That one's crazy.
I killed that guy first.
Nice.
And then I went looking for Sprung, and I'm like, the whole time I got that little voice in my head going, Tommy's 4 hours ahead of you. You gotta move. Sorry, he's 4 hours ahead of you. And I'm just kind of like wandering around. And it's so good.
Yes, it's so good. That's the theme I keep coming back to when I keep trying to play something else. Is I'm playing Expedition 33 right now because it's so good, and I really, really love it. I got caught last night. I was in the middle of like a big moment, and like kids woke up, that kind of stuff, and I just couldn't finish it. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So like, as soon as I had a free moment today, I was like, I gotta go back and like do that moment at least just to get through it. It ended up being like big like exposition of story moment that took much longer than I anticipated, so it was good I didn't get to it last night. But like, just like getting to soak that in and go, this is so interesting, it's so much good narrative, it's so much fun gameplay, it's just Again, we've talked about it a ton. Music's so good. Everything about it is just well done. Like, just love that title. So
I can't stop playing it.
Yeah, me neither. All that said, a game we're not going to play probably very much right now, but there is a demo for it. I would like to play the demo because this game does look legit fascinating to me.
Can I ask you this? Do you think it would be easier if it was a VR title?
Expedition 33?
No.
Okay. Karen. Karen. I don't know if it'd be easier. I think it'd be more interesting. Like, it'd be a really fun one to do in VR. I think I would enjoy it more in VR. Yeah. It has that vibe to it. Like, I don't know exactly how you would do it. Like, you have to adjust the gameplay, obviously. The way that the mechanic works in Karen is like, you move each limb kind of independently, and it by default, it just chooses which one. And so left arm, right arm, left leg, right leg. And you kind of have to find like footholds and grabs as you're climbing and that kind of stuff. And you can put in, use your axe or put in hooks or whatever it is you can take breaks, regain stamina and all this kind of stuff. And the mechanic works just fine. And the environment is very, very pretty. But it would be like that immersive VR thing of being able just to look around the landscape. There was a climbing game for VR that I don't remember off the top of my head right now that we played before. That was very fun. I enjoyed
it. We played that the last time I was at your house. What was that?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
That was a long time ago, and I was very sick that day.
Yes, I do remember that. But that was very good because, like, there's just something about being immersed in like big, stunning vistas in VR that's very cool. And Karen could do that very well.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are plans for that in VR, but it'd be cool. That's a good idea for them. So, the game that we're actually talking about though is Dispatch, very cool looking. It is one I really want to try out this.
And it's
demo.
Out.
Yes, right. The demo is out. The actual game is sometime this year is what is planned. Release date is 2025. But you go pick up the demo right now and play the demo. And it's you are working as a dispatcher for superheroes and sending them around the city to fix stuff. And like, it has a cool, like, comic bookish style to it.
Like The Office meets superheroes.
Yes, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a very interesting dynamic. We saw this last year, I think. We talked about it. This isn't the first time we've talked about this game. But, man, it looks so cool. So I do want to pick up the demo of this and try it out and actually see if it's as cool as it looks. And if it's something that I could very easily see us spending money for this one. Not many of the games so far could I like see us like spending money outside of what we already spend for like a service or something else. This is one that like could be cool enough and scratches a specific itch for us that I could go, yeah, I could get behind this one.
Yep. I definitely want to try it just because it's like one of those, hey, that's really funny and really entertaining.
Yeah,
and it doesn't look like it's too hard either. I mean,
yes, yeah, it looks like it's a lot of just like dialogue trees and like management decisions and that kind of stuff. A couple more from the PC Gaming Show. Generation Exile is another city builder, but like just interesting twist. Like the trailer got kind of dark as it went along. So like the early part is like, Earth has been decimated by something and now you're like terraforming, rebuilding, that kind of stuff. And so it has that city builder thing to it. But then it also like has this kind of maybe supernatural, weird, like narrative element too, that you like go into the like worlds that you're building and deal with. Like there's a, like one of the examples they show is like the citizens are having a rave. Do you shut it down or you let them party or whatever, you know? And again, kind of going back to that Frostpunk kind of vibe to it, but getting weird with like, there's one point that says there's a dead body and the dead body looks just like you. And it's like, well, it's weird and interesting and like some interesting narrative elements that could go along with that. And so I'm a sucker for city builders in general. Like I just love a good city builder. If it's a good city builder, adding in like that kind of twist to it could be fun. Could be interesting. Again, I don't know that it's going to be. There is a demo available for this one as well. And so if you want to try it out, you can. It's worth noting right now. We haven't said this explicitly, but it is Steam Next Fest going on right now. So there's demos for tons of stuff happening right now, as there is typically right at this time of year.
I think it's funny, and I should have said this earlier, I think it's funny that there's all of these city builders out there, which we love, and neither one of us, as far as I know, has played Civ 7.
Yeah, we haven't yet.
we really need to do that.
My short list of games. One other thing I'll mention about this one, I believe this is true, even though it's not the same developer name here. I believe this is made by some of the same people that did Firewatch, which, yes, if I'm remembering the trailer correctly at the beginning, it said from the makers of it and listed a bunch of games, and Firewatch was one of those. And if you've listened to the show for any time at all, you know how much Jamie and I love Firewatch.
Yes, we do.
That made this one more than anything else stand out to me. Which is true for the next game as well, and I'll mention it just briefly because we've talked about it in the past as well, because we saw it last year. It is actually out now, and it's on Game Pass, and it's installed on my computer. I just don't know why we get around to playing it. That's The Alters, which is the game from 11-bit. That's like about the clones. Right. We talked about this last year because we kind of saw the showcase of it, but you're like stranded in space, but there's a bunch of clones, and I still don't entirely get what it is about it, but it's very pretty. It looks fascinating. It has like a base building / exploration /
that's the one. That's the one was kind of like sort of cartoony, but not, and like, it had a lot of 2001 in it with like,
yes,
they're kind of like stuck, and like the whole thing is story driven, and
yes,
yeah, okay, yeah, I gotta go download that. Yes. Holy cow. Can I just mention one more time? If you would like to send us hard drives, we will totally take some hard drives off your hands.
Yes.
Because we're both really struggling over here.
Yes, for sure. I have no space available on my PC after specifically downloading The Alters. That was the game that kind of put me over to, like, I have like 30 gigs left on my drive. A hard drive would be wonderful right now, because it's real over here, trying to figure out how to play all these games, how to install all these games, because there are a bunch of them. So
yes.
So that's the stuff that we kind of picked out from the PC game show. That was, you know, a tenth of the list of games that they actually showed.
Let's just put it to, and we should say this about every show, but I'm going to take 5 minutes and talk about Olsen in a different way in just, yes, a second. There was a whole bunch of crap out of the PC game show that we did not bring up. We're not going to bring up, because we really don't care. So if there's something that is interesting to you out of the PC game show, please let us know. This show is about fan participation. Everybody at the Discord understands that, knows that. That's why we love the Discord so much, because there's always something going on over there. And if you found something in the PC game show that we did not discuss, please bring it up, because we want to hear your thoughts.
Yes, absolutely, because there's obviously tons of stuff that we skipped over there. So that said, let's one more thing. I almost forgot about this one, because this did show up in the PC game show, and I teased it earlier. James Bond, we have to take a moment to talk about James Bond. The James Bond game showed up in Sony's State of Play during whatever they did a couple weeks ago, and then showed up again at the PC gaming show.
And the Day of the Devs.
And the Day of the Devs, yeah. It's kind of all over the place at this point. Understandably so, because it's James Bond and it's IO. And so we do have to take a minute to mention this game, because I think both you and I are fairly excited about it.
I'm so afraid, because I'm geeked. Like, I'm geeked out, and I think it's because I haven't seen really, I haven't seen a really good Bond movie since like Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the other two were okay, fine, whatever. And I miss that.
Yes.
And I wonder what, like, young James Bond is kind of like, to me, it's kind of like young Indiana Jones. Like, there is so much content there that you could mine that Ian Fleming really didn't cover. And yes. all. Like, it's not there. And so it's almost like, what game did we just play that was in the universe? Well, Hogwarts is one of them, but there's another one that I'm sort of kind of thinking about that was like in this well-known universe, but you're not the person that we know from the universe. I can't think of it right now. My mind is blank.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about this, except that this is a character that we know and love, and we know almost nothing about what he was before he became 007.
Yes.
And so this is like super interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I loved hearing the developers talk about that, about how like it is James Bond the way that you know James Bond, but like it not quite as jaded a form as like you know him in,
yeah,
because he's young, because this is his origin story, this is him getting into it, and so like he hasn't developed quite as many of the rough edges, hasn't developed quite the sarcasm and that kind of stuff, and like that's interesting to me because we've had a billion James Bond games, obviously, for you and I, GoldenEye will always be nostalgic, but it's nostalgic for its multiplayer, where the campaign was fine, like for us, because it was a licensed game at the time or whatever. Like it was kind of cool because it.
Well, okay, let's go back because I'm going to push back on that slightly. The campaign was good because out at that point, outside of owning a PC and being able to play Doom or Duke Nukem, first-person shooters were not a thing on a console. Like, I have more love for the campaign than a lot of people because that was my first, I played Doom, I played Duke Nukem, but I played them at other people's houses.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have any money.
Right.
Like, and I know you were the same way. Like, we didn't have any money. We, like, there was no, we did not own these games. And so, for me, this was really, like, the first major, like, serious first-person shooter that I spent time with on a daily basis. And before some of you guys that have been listening to the show for 20 years start yelling at me going, wait, what about Half-Life? This was before Half-Life.
Yeah.
Like this, that's why it's a big deal to me. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it was. It was the first, like, legit first-person shooter that I played on a daily basis.
Yes, 100% agree, and I had the same experience. I played Duke Nukem, and I played Doom at a friend's house. I have a very specific friend growing up that had a PC that was able to do that, and it wasn't mine, you know. And I, once I got a PC that was able to play first-person shooters at that level, went back and played those games myself a ton because I loved it. And it was, you know, 5 years after those games were popular, but because I was able to get there. But GoldenEye, I had an N64 and I was able to play that. But I played way more of the multiplayer.
Agreed. 1,000%. We played
the single player, and the single player was special because of exactly everything you said. But we haven't truly had a really good James Bond single player experience. ever. Like, I dare say, like, Like, GoldenEye is it, and it was okay.
I really would love,
and I think IO can do a really good James Bond game that's a good single-player experience. I'm excited about that.
I'm going to go one step further. Not only have we never really had a really good single-player James Bond, we haven't had a good single-player spy game since, like, I don't know, Splinter Cell Conviction?
Yeah.
Like it's been a long time.
Yes.
And so there's some of that. Like, I'm watching this going, it's Splinter Cell in a suit.
Yes.
Like, that's what it's going to be. It's Splinter Cell in a suit with knife watches and gadgets and,
yes.
Like,
Yeah, I and having the, like, hitman, like, team coming in to do it feels right to me, even though I'm not, like, the biggest hitman.
I'm not either.
They're fine, and I've had fun playing those games in the past, but I'm not like, I need to go play every Hitman game ever. Part of the reason, though, that I don't feel that way about Hitman is because Agent 47 isn't that intriguing of a character to me.
Nope.
I've just never connected with Agent 47. James Bond is an intriguing character to me. I know James Bond, right? Like, that's right. A different thing. And that, like, if you take the gameplay that Hitman is and bring it into a world and a character that I care about, I go, now I'm into this. And that's what it feels like. And we've seen a ton of it, like, between the state of play, it showing up at a couple other places. Like, I'm excited about it. It looks very cool. I hope it doesn't suck.
And real quick, before we move on, we got to move because we're running out of time. But like, I hope it doesn't suck. Something else that I'm really excited about that I was going to squeeze in here and I forgot, which is, like, out, like, next week, is Mafia: The Old Country.
Yes.
I am so, like, again, we need hard drive space because I'm looking at Mafia: The Old Country going, I got to play this. I've never played a Mafia game. This I got to play. And it's going to be out in like 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. And it looks cool. It looks
really cool.
For sure. All that said, we need to talk about Wholesome Direct, and we're going to move through it a little bit faster than we want to. First of all, just about the kind of presentation of Wholesome Direct. Very different approach than what the PC Gaming Show is. Wholesome Direct, we've talked about this before, is for the most part not for middle-aged men. We're not the target demographic for the Wholesome Direct. And yet, every year, we find so many, like, gems in this show that, like, are either appealing to us because, like, we're softies too, or are things I'm like, oh, Genevieve would love that. You know, like,
right.
My daughter would be super into this. And some of it is, like, both, like, I and my daughter would be super into this, and that's really exciting. And so, whereas some of this show is, like, very obviously I'm uncomfortable with, like, just the fact that it's not made for me. I appreciate that it exists, and like, every presenter doing their ASMR voice drives me nuts because I do not find the, like, ASMR thing, like, in any way appealing. I still can get behind the games they're showing.
One of the guys actually said, welcome to the ASMR edition.
No, and it just kills me.
And I was like, okay, yeah. can I say this about the presentation and then we'll just jump right into the game? I guess I'm getting old or it's going on me or something, because I just really appreciate the whole vibe. Like, I really appreciate that these are just games from people, and they're all from people that apparently have a Cozy Games social media presence in some way. And, like, I have no interest in watching these people, but it's very clear that all of the presenters, all of the people that were promoted are really into this genre, and I really appreciate that.
I do too. It does come across as very authentic. And whereas, like, the PC gaming show we just talked about is so cringe in its presentation, this one, again, like I mentioned, is a little cringe for me at times because I'm not the target demographic. And so it feels foreign to me, but it's not inauthentic. And that's what, like, the PC gaming show just comes across as so contrived at times. And this just is the opposite of that, that it does feel very authentic. Again, for an audience, there's some games I'm like, wow, that's not for me. You know, like,
yeah.
I am so far away from the person that is going to enjoy this game. But I appreciate that it exists. I appreciate that it's there. And I appreciate that there's these communities that really love it and everything else. So all that said, there are a handful of games that maybe are for us, or in this case, definitely for us. And I love that you sent this one to me because you watched this before I did. And you said the very first game has you written all over it, which is Leaf Blower Co., which is 100% my kind of game. It has a very Power Wash Simulator vibe to it, except it's a leaf blower and you're just blowing leaves. And, like, I watched this trailer and I've watched it two or three times since and went, oh my God, I can't wait for this game to come out because this is absolutely my jam.
Like, seriously, let me just say you what's gonna happen with this. Like, I may go to Tommy's house. I may invest for Tommy in a sippy cup that is specifically for bourbon because I have this vision in my head of Tommy sitting and playing Leaf Blower Co. with his bourbon sippy cup and just taking a hit from a straw every once in a while. Yes. And just really enjoying life.
Yes. That's I did yard work today. Let me tell you, I mowed today and I went to go weed eat today and found out that my batteries for my cordless weed eater are not charging anymore. And so I literally ordered some new batteries that fit both my weed eater and my leaf blower because I'm a 41-year-old dude. Of course, I have a leaf blower. And I'm like, you know, legit looking forward to the fact that, like, I'm going to be able to go and, like, clean up my yard with a leaf blower tomorrow because I'll get these new batteries here. And like, that is a place where that stupid thing that I have to do in real life that, like, as a middle-aged man, I get, like, this weird pleasure from, and having a game that also allows me to just blow leaves randomly is super appealing, and I can't tell you why, but I'm, like, legit pumped about this game. There is a Steam a Next Fest demo for it, so I probably will go pick this one up.
If he can find some hard drive space again, send us hard drives.
Yes. Very, very true. A couple more for you. Let's Build a Dungeon. This one's, I don't know if it's our thing or not, because there is, as the name implies, a lot of building mechanic to it.
We're not going to build.
We're not going to build.
We're just but not.
There is this element to this game that I could see us getting into. So, like, the idea is you are building an MMO. And, like, the people that are playing your MMO aren't real people. Are, like, you know, virtual NPCs that are building this MMO. But you're building this MMO, like, getting to create the world. It has this kind of Zelda overworld kind of look to it, which, you know, appeals to me. And so, like, building levels and stages and that kind of stuff isn't my interest necessarily. But, like, I love Game Developer Sim that came out many, many years ago. That was really fun. And this has that kind of element to it. And there seems to be some mechanics to this game that feel similar that maybe work out.
Okay, so I'm going to do this in a very short way, but I've been doing a lot of game development stuff for the last several years with our web goddess, Evie, I've been doing my fair share of game development and trying to figure that kind of stuff out. And I sent this to her. I'm like, look what people are doing. And I don't know if you saw it or not. It was part of the PC game show. But our friends at CCP Games are doing the same thing with the Eve Universe. That they are actually trying to do an MMO and are going to let the Eve community, which is this massive, tight-built community, build out this MMO. And so that's a big deal right now. And I have no interest in any of it. Like, Eve, for example, really intrigues me. It always has.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games that you install it and you look up and it's been 2,000 hours and you haven't left your house and you haven't been to your job and you, like it's that kind of thing. And so I've not ever installed it, but like that's a big deal right now. There's a lot of people that are doing, hey, we'll give you the tools, just build.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. A couple more, like I said, we'll move through these pretty quickly. This one we've seen before, but got a little another look at it. And just, it's a life sim, but it's Lord of the Rings, and the Lord of the Rings life sim, what can you not love about that? It is Tales of the Shire, where you get to live life as a hobbit. And I don't know that I need to say any more than that. I love it.
Let's just be honest. I mean, you love the idea of this because you're essentially a hobbit.
I do have very hairy feet.
And if I would let my hair grow, I would also be a hobbit because I can grow a beard in about 3 days. I kid you not. So that's why we love this, because I think we have some hobbit DNA.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. Haunted Paws. This is one that I think that Genevieve and I could get into together. We've still been playing It Takes Two, which, by the way, is a much longer game than I anticipated it would be. But we played on a fairly regular basis. We're slowly getting through it. This feels kind of like one of those Joseph Ferris games, but it's dogs. You're playing as dogs trying to like find your owners, but like also haunted.
And it's night and there's ghosts. And
There's a point where there's like a giant spider chasing you or like a scarecrow or whatever. Like it may be a little bit too creepy for my daughter at this point, because she's not real into the creepy stuff. She likes to think she is, but she's not really. But it looks charming. It was in the wholesome direct, and so it can't be too scary, right? And so maybe I can
I'm sorry, I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole for a second. Sure. Is there some way that we can set up a camera and just have a shot of you playing It Takes Two with your daughter? Because I don't really care about the game. Yeah, that's interesting. What I care about is the whole bad dynamic of like, okay, now do this. And then she does something totally different. And you're like, I really want to see, like, I would literally pay money to see that.
You have no idea how spot on you are. So yesterday, she and I were playing a video game together with the sexy sidekick just hanging out in the room. And I was just getting so frustrated with her because she's 7. And so she wants to just like do stupid stuff in a game. And I'm like, here is the objective that we need to accomplish. And we need to go to where the arrow is pointing. And she's like, what if I run over here? And there's like dudes that are like 3 times our level that just wipe us out or whatever. I'm like, no, we have to go to the arrow. It is a lot. It was just dying in the corner of me getting so like irritated with her trying to like go to all these random places that are not the objective of what we're trying. And that's, you know, like that's what kids do or whatever. But you would enjoy that thoroughly because it is exactly that dynamic that you just explained.
I feel like if we have ever had a reason to have an OnlyFans for this show and charge people for like look at video, I think that's a gold mine. Like I think like we could do like a gaming dad OnlyFans and just have video of you play video games with Jeremy. I think people will pay for that.
Maybe so. That's a different dynamic than I was anticipating, but maybe so.
I know it would be hilarious.
It would be very entertaining. She's a trip. I'm very excited for whenever we get a Switch 2, because I'm still looking at it. They're out of stock everywhere constantly. By the way, I mean, we're not doing kind of typical news stuff, but holy cow, that thing has done well launch wise. Not that there was any doubt about that, but there was a lot of discussion going into like the Switch 2 launch of like, oh, there's not as much hype around this. It doesn't feel like that big of a deal. And then it's like outsold every Nintendo product for like years already. And it's just crazy. So Switch 2 doing just fine. And you can't find one still. Trust me.
Nintendo's like, yeah, we win again. Thanks.
Yeah. As if there was any doubt, but yeah, they're doing just fine. So
yeah.
Two more games I'll mention really quickly. Islanders is getting I don't know if it's DLC or,
I think it's a whole game.
It did feel like that to me. So I did play the original. I really liked it. It's this minimalist. We're going to end with a couple city builders here. So it's this like real minimalist city builder. That's very, again, this is in the wholesome direct. It's very kind of zen, just like you kind of lose yourself in it. And I really like those kind of games. And Islanders did that really well for like, you know, a couple hours of gameplay that I got out of or whatever. I really, really enjoyed it. This one, this new one, which is called New Shores, adds a lot of like, what feels like complexity to still keeping it pretty minimalist, that just because I enjoyed the first one so much, I'm really looking forward to. But like also feels like it's something that you could get into if you haven't played it before. It is a very approachable game. It is not super complex, even if like city builders aren't your thing, but you're just looking for something to kind of zone out to. This is that kind of game, and I think it'll be really cool.
I have no doubt that it's going to be cool. I don't know when I'm going to find out to play.
Yeah. For sure. And the last one we'll mention here is kind of the same way. Again, I mentioned that the city builders tend to be a theme here. The Wholesome Direct specifically, it was just city builders that appealed to me. And so there were a lot of other games in the Wholesome Direct. Like
and they were all good.
Like, they were all great. It's just as a 40.
Just real quick, can I mention that the show was like 55 minutes long? And there wasn't a bad game in the entire 55 minutes. All of them were interesting.
Yes, I agree. They do a really good job. I appreciate that. The last one we'll mention here is Town to City, which, like I said, is a city builder. It's a like voxel graphic city builder. And so that kind of lets it stand apart in a way. It just has a very like different vibe, like visual kind of feel to it than other city builders do. And I think that's most of what caught my attention about it. It's just pretty in a way that like other city builders aren't like it. I don't know that it's going to do anything that's more revolutionary than that. The thing they're kind of selling it on is it's not grid based. And so like what you see in the trailers, like these real like organic, like European looking villas kind of thing of how they're built out, which I don't know, but it feels very zen. Like what we just talked about with Islanders, like it feels like that kind of thing with this art style. That's something that appeals to me personally. And so like, that's why I kind of dig it.
I really think that the key with all of these is you have to find the one that fits you.
Yes.
Right?
Like, 100%.
That's the thing. We all have our preferences, especially when it comes to something like a city builder, of the certain type that we want to play. And the question is just finding the right one.
Yes.
And that's like you were about to say before I cut you off. As a 41-year-old man, you know, looking through all of this, that's really what you're looking for. I mean, it's what fits me.
Yes, for sure. And that's going to be different depending on if you're a middle-aged man or if you're a 20-year-old woman, which feels much more the demographic that this show is geared towards, as almost all of the presenters are like women in their 20s or 30s. Like, it's cool. And I love that like that demographic gets such solid representation here. Again, it's not me, and that's fine. I want gaming to be inclusive and for everybody. I want there to be games that my daughter loves that I'm never going to understand. And this right now is a showcase that, like, there were a handful of games I'm like, I would never, ever, ever touch that. But I could see Genevieve getting super into that kind of game, you know? And so I love that, that exists. And the Wholesome Direct is one of those ones that every year we talk about it, just like, it fills me with such joy about gaming because it's just so different than, like, you know, Gears of War or something like that that we love.
It's not the Spike video games war. Like, yes, it's the exact opposite.
It's the opposite Spike demographic of that.
And I'm good with that. Like, I, you know, that's one thing that I give Jeff credit for with the Muppets and some of that stuff. Like, he's trying really hard to, like, straddle the line and be something for everybody. This doesn't even try. It just says, this is what we are, and if you don't like it, fine. We're going to do what we do, which I think is fabulous.
Yes, agreed. So that's it for Wholesome Direct and PC Gaming Show. As we mentioned before, we've got a handful of other shows that we...
Which I have not watched any of.
So me neither. So the next show will probably be a few days down the road because we got to get to them, and we just got other stuff going on as well. But there are the Black voices in games, the Latino voices in games. I can't remember exactly what each one of them is called.
There's women led studios. I think
yes,
that one. And
yes,
yeah.
We're going to work through all that. We'll come back with thoughts on those. Much like the Wholesome Direct, there's going to be a lot of stuff in there that's not made for middle-aged white dudes. And I'm really excited about that because I love seeing those games that are not made for us. And again, some of them aren't going to appeal to us at all, and that's perfectly okay. And to see things that are outside of, like, our cultural blinders, I think, is really valuable.
I am really excited about it, but my question is, am I going to be able to stop playing Expedition 33 long enough to get through these shows? Because I really am. Like, last night I was like, it's 9 o'clock at night. I don't have time to play Expedition 33, but I'm just going to spend 3 hours I don't have anyway. So that's what I'm worried about with all of these that are coming up. Like, I'm just going to have to make myself sit down and watch, because you're right, we have to get through them.
Yes, we definitely do. And so there'll be more stuff happening over the next weeks and into July, because it is the summer of gaming and we get all this stuff here. So we will be back with more content. We've gotten through a big chunk of it. I'm proud of us. We've done good.
Yes, we've done extremely good for a couple guys that haven't been on the air in a month. Yeah. I feel like we're almost doing our jobs and giving the Patreon guys what they actually pay for, which, by the way, if you would like to be a part of our Patreon, you can go to Patreon and search for Gaming Uncensored. We are not responsible for what you find when you do, but we promise we are there. We're going to fix the Patreon link on the website. The website is not going to suck much longer. Tommy and I have to get together and pick a theme for the website that does not suck.
Yes.
And I think we may just have to start doing what we've been doing with these shows and finding themes and sending them back and forth going, what about this?
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's what we really need to do is get that done, and we promise we will. And because I'm really tired of the website sucking.
Yes.
So all of that said, all of the normal stuff is still valid. If you would like to call the voicemail line, you can do that at
509-GAME-210.
If you would like to email us, you can do that at gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Anything else? Or we will actually, I will say this, because I've been begging on the Discord. Even though it's E4 and kind of special shows, if you guys will submit segments, we will find a place to put them. And,
for sure.
And I would just have to say, I would think that this would be the best time of the year to do a segment, because there's 8 zillion games out there to comment on. And so I would love to see some E4 segments out there from some of you guys.
100% agreed. We cover the games that we find interesting. I will call out Sam specifically because he has such a different taste in games than I do. I love hearing him talk about games. And I love like seeing his reactions to like playing something like Mind's Eye that now we don't have to play because we've heard him talk about it and kind of have a sense of what it is. And so like, but that's something that we weren't going to necessarily get to. And he did. And we're so appreciative of that. And so we want to hear what you're playing, because what you're playing is different than what we're playing, because what we're playing is Expedition 33 and everybody else has got through that already because we're super slow at stuff. And so we want to hear what you're playing because we get to live vicariously through you in that way. And like, but sure, it's good content for the show, but it's just fun for us. And that's what we really care about, is that it's fun for us. And so please let us know what you're playing because it's fun.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir? I think we beat the kids.
I think we did. I'm proud of that. So good job. We're good.
I don't know how we did it, but I think we're done. Is there anything else, my friend?
Nah, I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza only on GamingUnsister.com, which we are totally aware still, folks. And we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.